Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. This podcast is hosted by Laura Amin, a voracious reader of romance and young adult novels. In this podcast, Laura interviews fellow readers and authors and asks them for book recommendations of what we should read next. We hope you enjoy it. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. I am so happy to have you back. Today, our guest is Teresa from the Reads Romance Bookstagram account and the Romance Reader blog, and we're chatting all things romance book recommendations. Now, let's get to the interview. Hi, Teresa. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hey, Laura. How are you?
Good. I'm so happy to have you here. So tell us who you are.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here. Well, my name is Teresa, and I run a blog called Romance Reader and an Instagram called Reads_romance. So I think it's a little self-explanatory, but I'm a romance blogger. I've read thousands of romances, and I just love chatting about them and recommending them and reading them and reviewing them.
I love it, and I'm so excited to talk about romance books with you. This is just my go-to genre, so I'm excited.
Excellent. Me too.
Yeah. So let's talk about your reading life. When do you read?
So I work in D.C., in Washington, D.C., so I have about an hour commute every day, and I'm on the metro, I'm on public transportation, so I'm pretty darn good at reading in chaos. I usually read on my way into work and on my way out. And then I always read before bed, at least a few pages. All right, let's be real. It's usually more than a few pages, but at least a few pages before I go to bed. So I read every single day.
I love it. And what do you love most about reading?
You know, my mom was a reading teacher, so I've always been a reader. She always read aloud to me, and then through that I found books on my own. And it's just always been a way to escape. And it's always been a way to connect to new worlds and to learn. Reading is how I learn. Reading is how I've always discovered information. Mm-hmm. And I was an English literature major. Because they asked you in college, they're like, well, you should do what you're good at. So I was like, well, I can read. So it's just always been a huge part of my life.
That is awesome. I love, like, you know, it's just been part of your life and you're still doing it, you know, discovering new genres, discovering new things.
Absolutely. And I do read other genres other than romance, but romance has been my primary genre since I was 13.
I love it. What would you like your reading life to be different?
You know, I really like the way my reading life is, but I think that all readers wish that they had more time to read. I'm lucky that I can make time to prioritize it. I do wish that I could read and do other things. I've tried to read and watch TV at the same time, and it just doesn't work. So yeah. People always ask me what the sacrifice is, and I don't watch much TV. I'm never caught up on TV. So I watch The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, and I read. That's about it.
Yeah, me too. I've noticed that actually I've been reading consistently, I think for quantity and quality for the past few years. And I noticed for me, my TV watching decreased. Like, I have not caught up. Like, I just started catching up with shows. And it's still, like, that means I won't read a book if I'm watching a show.
Exactly. It takes up a lot of time. So people are like, you haven't watched Game of Thrones? I'm like, no, I have not. That seems like a lot. If I'm watching TV, I'm usually doing something else, because when you read a book, you can't do anything else. It's all you're doing.
Yep. It feels like a meditation. It feels like kind of like your tunnel vision to one thing. You're escaping to a story, and just that's all you do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I got a question. What kind of format do you read? Do you read Kindle, Audible, or audio, or paperback? And what's your preference?
Well, I've been a Kindle user for the last many years, and I'm a complete convert. I always was a mass market paperback girl growing up. I mean, I would read them everywhere. I would get them to the library. And then I got a Kindle in college, and my life changed forever. Mm-hmm. So right now, my favorite Kindle that I use is the Kindle HD 8HD. Mm-hmm. And then I also have a regular Kindle for outside, just like black and white Kindle. And then I got my grandma and my mom Kindles, and so they love them. They both have a paperweight. I push Kindles on everyone.
I love it. Yeah, I'm a Kindle user. I think for me, it's very hard to get real books. I don't like having books in my house, so I take them from the library. But other than that, I like Kindle. It's just like I can carry anywhere and doesn't weigh anything. And I can read it from my phone if I want to, and it'll still mark the pages. So I don't have to think about like, where am I? What am I stuck? You know?
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. It's really, I have lots of books that I do need to read, but I went through a large purge about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like I mentioned, I live in DC. I move a lot. I can't really be hauling a lot of books around. I don't have that much space. Mm-hmm. So having thousands of books on my Kindle is a way around that. And while I do love holding a book, it's kind of heavy. And don't get me started on hardbacks. I think they're gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And on Instagram, I love taking pictures of them, but I hate reading them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know what you mean. So how do you choose your next read? Do you keep a TBR or are you a mood reader?
So before I was a reviewer, I was a complete mood reader, and I'm also, I call myself a chronic rereader. Mm-hmm. I love rereading my favorite authors. I will reread, my favorite books, or I'll reread them totally, or I'll just reread small sections. But, now that I'm a reviewer and a blogger, I've had to, kind of get more strict with myself. Mm-hmm. So I still lose TBR for the month, and that seemed to work for me. It's the books I need to get done in the month, and then I kind of switch up the order. And then if a book is really calling to me, I just let myself read that, because if you get too strict, then you get in book slumps, and you, as you know, those are the banes of all readers' existences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, for me, I have a TBR arcs that I need to read, but then for the most part, I'm a mood reader. Like, it just depends on what mood strikes, and that's what I pick.
Absolutely. Do you write down your titles that you're going to read for the month? I find that writing down a list actually helps.
I keep it week by week, so I check in with my intuition and see and make a list of like one or two titles that I want to get to the week. I can read about three or four titles a week. So it just depends. I may just go into a mood of going to read all things thriller, like five or six thriller books at a time, and then just kind of like switch it up and be like, I need a palate cleanser and I'll read a romance novel. So it just depends on where I'm at. But I keep a list, a running list, I think every week of what books I'm planning to read, and then I take it to the next level.
That makes sense. And I think it's so interesting that you go week by week. When I talk to my friends outside of the reading community or the romance community, they're like, what do you mean you go week by week? You read more than one book a week? Yeah, I read 3 to 5 books a week, just depending on how busy I am.
Yeah. I was like, I can read, there are times I can read 7 books. That was crazy. Now I can read about 4 books a week, 4 to 5 books a week. But it just depends. And it depends on the depends on the type of book that it is. Romans I can read in the day, or I can read them one sitting, and I love those. But there are other books that may take me a little longer, so I keep that into account.
Exactly.
Do you keep track of the books that you read?
I do keep track of the books I read. So I was finding once I was a romance reader from 13 all through high school. And then in college, because I was a lit major, I had to take a little bit of a break as a reader, mostly just because I was only reading for school. And then when I started reading again after I graduated, I realized that I was rereading titles. I was like, wait, I've definitely read this before. So I created a Google sheet, and it's a comprehensive sheet of everything that I've read, and has, I separate it by subgenre. So it's paranormal or fantasy, contemporary and historical. I just separate up 3 subgenres, and then I have also a non-romance section. And it's every book I've read with the title, the series, and just a few notes to help jog my memory, because I'm really good at remembering romance novels, but when you've read thousands, it gets a little murky sometimes.
Yeah, I think for romance, for me, sometimes I read a ton, but for me, sometimes I forget the storyline, and so I can read it again and be like completely brand new experience, because I just forgot the storyline, or I may remember some tropes, but I may not remember the plot lines and what happened, and it's like a brand new experience. But that's one thing I noticed for me with romance.
Absolutely. And then a lot of people keep track on Goodreads, which I think is a great way to keep track. Mm-hmm. But because I have notes and they're just personal to me, they're not full sentences, they're not reviews. It's just ways for me to keep track and maybe how I feel about the book. I like to keep an Excel sheet that's private for me so that I can reference back to it and not have everyone in the community see just my random notes.
I know. Yeah, I've been keeping a paper track, but I think this year I'm keeping an Excel spreadsheet of the books that I read for this year. And I'm trying different tracking methods this year.
Mm-hmm.
So romance is your go-to genre, but there's many, as you mentioned, there's different subgenres within romance. Which is your favorite or your go-to subgenre that you go for?
Well, I think it just depends, but I would probably have to say historical is where my heart is. It's where I started. It's where I always go back to. And I think it will always have a special place in my heart. Contemporary and paranormal are great, and I've started reading a lot more contemporary, and paranormal has always been probably my second favorite subgenre, but historical is probably where I always go back to.
So what are your top three books within the paranormal subgenre?
Paranormal. So I kind of cheated. I did a little bit of historical and paranormal. One of my favorite ones is Grave Phantoms by Jen Bennett. The hero is Chinese, and it's set in the roaring 20s in San Francisco. And there's also a slight paranormal element. There's spirits. It's very, it's fascinating, and it's a truly beautiful story. Most people know Jen Bennett from her YA novels, but I really wish that she would go back to writing adult romances.
So Jen Bennett wrote Alice Approximately, right?
Absolutely, yep.
Oh my gosh, I love her book. I love her YA books, but I did not know that she read paranormal romance. Now I gotta check it out.
Paranormal historicals.
That's amazing. Any other books within the subgenre?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, I mean, this podcast dedicated to the series. It's a prolific series. It's called Immortals After Dark by Cressley Cole. And I think one of the hard parts about the paranormal subgenre is that most of the books that are with it are within series. It's and it can be a little daunting for readers to see a book with 20 plus books. But Immortals After Dark is definitely worth the commitment, and it will definitely suck you right in. So the first book is A Hunger Like No Other, and it has a vampire heroine. Well, she's half vampire, half Valkyrie, and a werewolf or lycan hero. And let's just say in the first chapter, he saws off a body part. So it gets there. It gets real.
Oh, my gosh. I can't wait to check this one out. Thank you.
So,
let's talk about someone who's starting to discover the romance genre. What are some of the go-to books that they should check out first?
Okay, so I'm going to kind of break this up by genre, like I break it up in my mind, because they're just so separate, and it just depends on the reader. So, for historical, I always say that Sarah McLean is a great bet for a first-time historical reader. Nine Rules to Break When Romancing a Rake is one of her first books, and it's still one of my favorites. It's got a wallflower hero, a duke hero, or a wallflower heroine, a duke hero. It's funny, it's romantic, it's swoony. I highly recommend. And then also with historical, the Bridgerton series, which is one of the series in historical romance and has been for years. And that's by Julia Quinn and is being made into a Netflix series. So I've been recommending it to a lot of my friends to read before the series comes out. And that was picked up by Shonda Rhimes.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so she did Grey's Anatomy and all of those different series. So I think that she's going to do a good job for Kivas.
Oh my gosh, I'm checking that one out.
And then also my last historical I would recommend is The Madness of Lord Ian Mackenzie by Jennifer Ashley. And I love this book. The hero has autism, although he's Scottish and it's set in the 1800s, the late 1800s. So obviously he's not diagnosed with autism. He was put into a madhouse, and it's very interesting to see autism in the historical subtext, and the heroine is a widow. It's very romantic and sexy.
Ooh, that sounds awesome.
And then paranormal. So I've already recommended two paranormals, but a third paranormal I would absolutely recommend is Heart of the Dragon mm-hmm. by Gina Showalter. So most people know Gina Showalter for her Lords of the Underworld series, which is a fabulous series, but it is really long and it's on the same lines of Immortals After Dark. So mm-hmm. it's a big commitment. Heart of the Dragon is the first book in a shorter series, and I think it's a little bit more accessible to non-paranormal readers who don't want a huge world that they would be intimidated by.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love it. This is awesome.
For fantasy, which I usually group paranormal and fantasy together, but I think especially lately there's been a lot of separation from paranormal and fantasy. They're just a little bit different. My go-to, and she's actually a newer author, she doesn't have very many books out, but is Amanda Boucher. And her first book, A Promise of Fire, is the first book in a trilogy following the same couple through all three books.
Ooh.
And it is gorgeous. It's easy to read. And she's a master world builder.
Mm.
If you like strong heroines, you will love this series.
Okay, I'm checking that one out for sure. You're growing my TBR.
That's my main goal, is to grow all my friends' TBRs.
I love it. Do you have any contemporary romance suggestions?
I do. So if you like romantic comedy, mm-hmm. Lauren Lane is one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And Walk of Shame is my favorite book by Lauren Lane. And what's great is it's a standalone. Mm-hmm. And it's a retelling of Enchanted, the Disney movie.
Mm-hmm. I read that one. It's so good.
Isn't it so good?
Oh my God. I love Lauren Lane. I've pretty much read all her books, actually. I've been going down her rabbit hole, and it's been awesome.
She's fabulous. Mm-hmm. And then another book I would recommend, and usually this author is known for historicals, but I adore her contemporary series, and that's Lisa Kleypas. Mm-hmm. And Blue Eyed Devil is the book. It's stunning. There are trigger warnings. It does feature an abusive relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But the hero is so supportive of the heroine, and the heroine is one of the strongest heroines I've ever read in a book. She's so resilient. I cry every time I read it. And you get that happily ever after at the end. It's so rewarding.
Mm. Oh my gosh, I can't wait to read this. You're growing my TBR by miles long.
Perfect.
I love it. So what are your top three favorite books of all time?
Oh my gosh, this is such a hard one. Okay, well, the first one is not hard, actually. My number one book of all time is Dreaming of You by Lisa Kleypas, who I just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. It's a wonderful book. It's a little dark, but it will forever be my favorite book. I got to meet Lisa Kleypas in February, and she signed my old Falling Apart copy. And I don't even remember what I said to her. I was so nervous and excited.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
And then what else? Okay. So my second favorite romance novel would be Ravished by Amanda Quick.
Mm-hmm.
Ravished is a Beauty and the Beast retelling, and it features an archaeologist heroine and a dark scarred Duke. It's a beauty. So it's hilarious. Like, I laugh out loud. It's swoony. Amanda Quick has this way of writing these very book smart yet ditzy characters. They just crack me up, and the heroines always make the heroes so befuddled. They just don't know what's going on. It's a delight to read. And that one was written a long time ago. It's pretty old, but it's 94, I think. So it stood the test of time for sure.
That's awesome.
And then my last favorite, you know, it's hard. There's so many that could take that like third spot. One of my favorites is Conspiracy Game by Christine Feehan, who is one of my favorite authors.
Mm-hmm.
Christine has written almost 100 books, so her series can be daunting too. But Conspiracy Game is part of her Ghostwalker series and features enhanced soldiers. So I think I love enhanced soldiers. They're like some of my go-tos.
I love it. Who are your go-to authors? So which authors are you out of by?
Oh, man. Okay. Let's, are you ready for the list?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Lisa Kleypas, of course. Nalini Singh, who I've mentioned. Cressley Cole. Christine Feehan. Amanda Quick. Penny Reed. Should I go into more detail about these authors, or should I just
look go into detail if you want of some of them, or maybe some titles, so, or the genre that they share?
Yeah, that'd be great. Okay, so Cressley Cole and Malini Singh are both paranormal. Christine Feehan's also paranormal. Amanda Quick, I mentioned her book Ravished, is historical. Penny Reed is contemporary, and her Winston Brothers series have those iconic cross-stitch beard covers. Her books are perfection. I love them. Gina Showalter writes paranormal. Susan Elizabeth Phillips, who I haven't mentioned, is one of my favorite contemporary authors. If you ask most contemporary authors, they'll tell you that she's the gold standard, and she has been for a very long time. Her books are wonderfully in depth, and there's so much character growth. I could talk about her all day. Mm-hmm. Rebecca Zanetti, who I wish more people knew about, her book Forgotten Sins is also another Enhanced Soldier series, an amnesia plot novel, and she's also written like a vampire world paranormal series. Mm-hmm. So she writes in a few different worlds, but they're all really good. Most recently, she's done a lot of romantic suspense, which has been my most recent up-and-coming subgenre that I've been loving lately. I think that the authors are doing a lot with it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Julie Quinn, because she's wonderful and writes gorgeous historical romances.
I love it. Oh my gosh, I can't wait to dig into these authors and go into their backlist.
Was there enough? I think that there could definitely be more, but I'll leave it at that.
That's okay. I understand. So for books that you read in 2018,
It was Rebel Heart by Nalini Singh, which I told you she's a paranormal author, but this is in her contemporary series. So Nalini is actually from New Zealand, and this book is set in New Zealand.
Ooh.
And both of the characters are Indian, and both of their families want them to be set up an arranged marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually almost hooked up a few nights before they were arranged marriage meetings. They were like on a blind arranged marriage date. So they didn't think they were going to see each other again. And then they met at an arranged marriage meeting with their parents.
Oh, yeah.
It's a beautiful book. It's very relevant, I think. And it's just a gentle yet sexy novel. And the lady just has a really special way with words. Anyone who's read her books thinks that.
Mm-hmm.
The depth and the breadth of her work and the way that she can make you feel her characters is perfect. And her heroes, oh my gosh, Raj, he is sexy, sexy man. You need to look up that cover because it is hot.
I'm reading that next. I'm sure that's like my next book.
Yes, please do.
That's awesome. What's your most anticipated new release for 2019?
Well, I think that most romance readers, and actually non-romance readers, would say it's The Bride Test, and that's mm-hmm. one of mine too, by Helen Hong. So she wrote The Kiss Quotient, which I'm sure you read, and I'm just so excited. I think her next book is going to be amazing,
mm-hmm.
And I'm just so proud of her success and how many new romance readers she's brought to the genre. I gave The Kiss Quotient to my roommate, who does not usually read romances, and she loved it.
Yeah, I loved it. I listened to the book actually because it wasn't available in the library, and it was hot. It was steamy and it was great. I love the storyline. It was just so interesting within, and it was definitely not safe for work. But it was
great. Yeah, I was shocked at how many non-romance readers were reading it. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is a very sexy book. Like mm-hmm. I usually. With new romance readers, I'll ease them into that stuff.
I know. I was like, this is just like a regular romance novel that I'm like, okay. And I was like, I kept seeing it on Instagram. I still see it for people who don't read romance. They were like reading Kiss Quotient. I was like, and they're loving it, which I love it. It inspires the genre. I converted, I think, a few people who've been in the show, and they're like, they love the case code. And I was like, you got to discover the genre. It's like amazing, you know?
Absolutely. So, it's not a beginner's romance novel. It is a pure setup romance novel. If you like that one, there's lots of other books you will like within the romance genre.
Yep. Which is awesome. So I'm definitely looking forward to the Bride Test too. That's one book that I'm looking forward to. So what's one book that everyone loves but you cannot see in?
Oh my gosh. So this year it was Fight or Flight, which by Samantha Young. And I don't know if you read it. A lot of people read it.
Oh, I agree with you. I hated the book, actually.
Oh, my God.
Chemistry, it was just like, I felt flat. I was like, why am I reading this? Oh, I kept thinking,
It was awful. I mean, it wasn't awful. Samantha Young is a beautiful writer. She has her On Dublin Street series. I love it. She's written some of my very favorite books. Fight or Flight is a beautifully crafted book, and the female friendship in there really touched me, but that hero, I could not stand him. I wanted him away from me. I threw my Kindle. I was like, what? Why does she like him so much?
Yeah, I didn't feel there was any chemistry between them, and I was just like, it felt forced, and I didn't like the whole, you know, I love that Samantha Young writes Scottish, but it just felt forced. It was like, okay, you're just writing he's Scott for the sake of being Scott. Like, there was no purpose behind it. It was more like, oh, I know Scottish man, so I'm just going to make him have an accent. And I was like, why are we having this conversation? So.
Yeah, I agree. I think that there were positives to that book, and I do see why people loved it. It just did not resonate with me, and I just realized that hero was not for me, and that's okay. I love that people could have differing opinions about romance novels.
Yeah, and I like her other books. I love On Dublin Street. It's a series that I would love to reread again, but this book definitely was not for me either.
Nope, and I really hope her friend gets a book. I don't remember what the friend's name was, but the best friend in the book, I would totally read it, but as long as she gets a better hero.
Yeah, let's hope so. Let's fingers crossed. So what's your favorite book to movie adaptation?
I would have to say The Help. Not very many romance novels have been adapted into any kind of big screen TV movie, or TV outside of TV movies. So The Help by Catherine Stockett. It's a beautiful book and it's a beautiful movie. I love both.
I love it. What's your go-to book recommendation?
You know, I don't really have a go-to. I prefer to give tailored recommendations. I like to have a little bit more of a conversation with people. I think it's really hard because recommendations are so personal. I think that Susan Elizabeth Phillips, anything she writes is relatively universal. And it just kind of depends on the person. I think with historical, Tessa Dare, probably I would recommend to anyone. But again, I'm recommending authors, not books, because most people seem to like The Duchess Deal. I could recommend that safely. I'm surprised at how many people that book's resonated with.
I love it. So tell us where you can find you online.
So I have an Instagram, it's reads_romance, and then I have a blog, which is romance-reader.com, and those are where I post. On my Instagram, I just post recommendations and what I'm currently reading, and then on my blog, I post full reviews. So I like to keep my Instagram positive, and then I'll get into the nitty-gritty of books that I've read on my blog.
I love it. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Laura.
Thank you, Teresa, for a great list of book recommendations. For a detailed list of books mentioned in this podcast, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/94. If you purchase a book through the links in the show notes, you will be supporting the What to Read Next blog. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider subscribing to the podcast wherever you listen to your podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyournextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.